If you have your Gemara, take a look at Daf Beis Amud Beis. At the beginning of the Masechta, they were discussing who Hakol Chayavin is referring to. So is it referring to a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin? And then the Gemara went back and forth on that and then suggested that it was talking about a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. One was referring to the Mishnah Rishona and one was referring to the Mishnah Achron. So the Mishnah Rishona was that a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin is Pater from Aliyah L'Rego because he has a Tzad Abdus. Whereas the Mishnah Achrona was saying that no, there's a separate reason why a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin is going to be Chayev in Aliyah L'Rego, based on a consideration that Beis Shammai posed to Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel later gave in to Beis Shammai. So what was that consideration? So if we look at the very bottom of Beis Amid Aleph, going over to Beis Amid Beis, so I have a bunch more on the printer if you want. Beis Hillel says, no problem. You have a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. You guys, you're up to date on the Metzius, is how you become a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. Basically, your own Beshutfus, and then one of the two decides to free him. So there's a whole discussion, maybe we'll get to it at the very end. There's an Isser to free an Eved Kanani. It's not actually a Losa say in the Torah, it's what we call an Isser Asay, or a Lav Haba Mechlal Asay. It says in the Torah, La Olam Bahem Tavodu. Meaning it's contrasting an Eved Kanani with an Eved Ivri. The concept of an Eved Ivri is that he dafka only works for 6 years or until the Yovel. And an Eved Kanani, in contrast to that, the Torah says, La'olam bis nachalta mosim livnei machareichan, you should actually yarshim them to your children, La'olam bayam tavodah, they should serve you La'olam. So so that's not an isser to free them, but there's a mitzvah sasei of olam bayam tavodu. From which the Torah understands, from which the Chazal understand that there's an isser to free them. So there's a famous Gemara in Maseches Brachos where they call the Maisa de Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was the most famous Maisa de Rabbi Eliezer is in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, right? Maisa de Rabbi Eliezer, and then all the other Tanaim were having the Seder in Bnei Brak, but the lesser famous Maisa de Rabbi Eliezer is that it says that Rabbi Eliezer had 9 for a minyan, and he was Meshachrer Avdo Lahashlem as a minyan. They needed a center. So he said, okay, I have this trusty Eved Kanani who's a very good davener, and he freed him. So when you free an Eved Kanani, Eved Kanani is mostly Jewish. For those fans of the Princess Bride, and then when you free him, he becomes fully Jewish. So in order to be mashlim the minyan, he had to free the Eved. So Gemara has old kash over there. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? How could he have freed him? It violates an asay. The Gemara says, no, mitzvah shiny. The Gemara says, it's a mitzvah abo abo avera. So the Gemara answers, mitzvah derabim is shiny. It's a mitzvah derabim. So that's a very interesting nekuda unto itself, that a mitzvah derabim is considered a big enough deal to overcome an isser asay. And pashtus, the mitzvah derabim was not a mitzvah d'oraisa. Right? There's no, when is there a chiyuv d'oraisa to have a minyan? Tosos raises that question in Brachos. I forgot what the exact discussion in the Tosos says, but that's actually, for those you probably heard that there are some who say that Parshas Parah is d'oraisa. You ever heard such a thing? They say, Parshas Zachor, many say is d'oraisa. That's probably Rov Deus hold that Parshas Zachor is d'oraisa. Right? But then there's a minority opinion that Parshas Parah is d'oraisa as well. Parshas Parah being d'oraisa is based on this sugya that I'm talking about, the sugya of Rabbi Eliezer, where they asked, why did he free his servant to be mashlim the minyan? What was the big mitzvah? What was the big mitzvah to Rabin? So they said, I needed a minyan. So what's the chiyuv to daven with a minyan? I don't know. You ever think about it? I mean, obviously we like to daven with a minyan, but what's the actual chiyuv to daven with a minyan? No? So it's a good question. Is there even a chiyuv to daven with a minyan? But so here it's on Mem Zayin and Beis in Brachos. So Tosfos raises the question. He says, "Mikan kasha la'alachos gedol is the perish to misha meis lameis biyante va'achon." No, not that. Sorry. No, I got the wrong thing. Sorry. Where is this question? Maybe it's only in the Tosfos Harosh. I forgot already. All right, I'll take it back. But it's either the Tosfos Harosh on the daf, or it's the Rush in the back of the Gemara who says that he says, what kind of minyan are we talking about? He says, must be. We're talking about a din d'oraisa over here, like Parshas Zachor. And then some editions have it, or Parshas Purim. Right? So so that's where the whole cheshbon gets into. Why would Parshas Purim be d'oraisa? So this is a very interesting thing to be mukim that particular story, as it was on a Shabbos, and it was a Shabbos Parshas Zachor. And that's why they needed to be mashlim the minyan at that time. But nevertheless, it was considered a mitzvah derabin. And most understand that we're not talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa where they needed to be mashlim for Parshas Zachor. We're talking about they needed a minyan, the dab mincha. So that's probably just a din derabanan. You could say that when you say Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu, so certainly the chiyuv to say Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu is only chiyuv derabanan. So it's possible that you could suggest that it's a chiyuv derabanan with a kiyum d'oraisa. Right, what would be the kiyum d'oraisa of saying Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu? The mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Right, so we say that whenever you have a minyan of Jews, you can be mekayim the mitzvah, making a Kiddush Hashem by saying Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu, what we call Dvarim Sheva Kedusha. Because that's how we know you need a minyan for these things, because it's because of the pasuk v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Right, it's nogea to 2 weeks ago's parsha. We learned the concept of a minyan from the Meraglim. Right, it's a double Gzeira Shavah from last week's Parsha and 2 weeks ago's Parsha. Right, so you have Eda, and Toch, Toch. So you said, we have, because in last week's Parsha, we had Hibadlu Mitoch Ha'eda. Hashem tells Moshe, separate yourself from the midst of this congregation. And then the Gzeira Shavah Eda from the Meraglim. So Eda, it's Ad Masai Ha'eda Ra Hazeh. Something like that, or Zos, I forgot already. So until when is this bad congregation going to be doing its thing? So how many bad Meraglim were there? Well, there were 12 Meraglim total, and 2 of them were good. So there were 10 bad Meraglim, so the Gemara says, so you see that 10 is the Eda, and then it says, by Korach, he used the word Eda, he badlu mitoch ha'Eda, and we have the Nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. So we have Gzeirah Shavah, toch, so it's a double Gzeirah Shavah. Toch, toch, Eda, Eda, where we basically learn out that a minyan is 10 people. So the best thing that ever came from the Meraglim is that we learned how many people make a minyan. So so we know you need a minyan for Kedusha, the Davar Sheva Kedusha. So maybe that's the pshat why Rebbe Lezer was able to free his slave, because he wanted to be mashlin the minyan, to be not for the chiyuv of saying Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu, but for the Kiyum Doraisa of Davar Sheva Kedusha, that it's not, in other words, you can't say that the Torah says you must say Kaddish, you must say Kedusha. But if you do it, you're Mekayim the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So it's therefore, there. You could suggest that that's why he freed him. It's a mitzvah derabim. It's not a chi of derabim, but it is a mitzvah derabim once you do it. Okay, it's all a bit of a dicey situation, but it will play out a little bit in the end, that we have this idea of not being allowed to free your eved, but on the other hand, for a mitzvah rabbah or a mitzvah derabim, you are allowed to do so. So this is what happens over here. We have this guy is a chatzi eved, Chatzi ben Chorin, who, you know what, if this is my last one, can you just take off the top of the printer? Thank you. So you have this fellow, Zachatzi Eved Chatzi ben Chorin, and basically, Beis Hillel says, okay, no problem, he'll split his time, he'll work as a freelance operative for half the week, and he'll work as an Eved for the other half of the week. And Beis Shammai says, no way, because that is not going to allow him to have children. And then Beis Shammai uses a very strange lashon over here. He says, he's not able to marry a shivcha. He's not able to marry a bas chorin. So libatel? What, he's just going to sit and do nothing? He's not going to get married? V'halolo nivra ha'olam ela. Right, I'll say it right once and then I'll say it wrong the rest of the time. I have a thing that I like to know the proper pronunciation for words, but like also to be a normal person is a good thing. So like I'll say it once. The proper pronunciation of the words is Ella Lepria Urvia. Okay, right? So Piria Verivia would be if it was spelled with an aleph at the end. But in Yeshivish we say it's Piria Verivia. Right? So it's in Hebrew it's Puravu, in Aramaic it's fake Aramaic, it's Piria Verivia. But it's technically it's Priya Urvia. Okay? So now that we know that, we can go back to saying Piria Verivia. Okay, so Balolo Nivra Olam Elala Piria Verivia. The whole world was created for Piria Verivia. Shenemar, right? Well, if you were writing the Gemara, what pasuk would you now quote? Pruravu, Milua Tzaretz, Kivshua, right? Parshas Bereishis, pretty solid. All right, you want to go all the way to Parshas Noach? There's another one in Noach, right? So, okay, you can choose Parshas Bereishis. You can choose Parshas Noach. What do we choose? Yeshayo? Right? I mean, listen, it's nice to learn Navi and all, but that's not the... He said he used the words Pruravu. He says the world was created for Pruravu, and then he doesn't quote the pasuk of Pruravu. He says, rather, lo tohu bara, lo sheves yitzara. Right? So he says that the world was not created to be desolate. The world was created to be settled. So that's the raya, that the whole world, that Puravu is such a big deal. And we have to take this mitzvah so seriously. It's difficult to, why not just go with the regular pasuk? The actual chi of Doraisa, Puravu, is a big deal. Just quote Puravu and we can all go home. So everybody likes to talk about this. So Tosfos by us, there are a few different Tosfos. This Gemara comes up very frequently in Shas. It's a Mishnah in Gittin originally. Comes up also very prominently in the beginning of Bava Basra. And here it comes up right at the beginning. So whichever Masechta you happen to be learning, that Tosfos is always a little bit different than the other Tosfos. So, generally speaking, Chagiga, not exactly a very Yeshivish Masechta. So when the Achronim talk about this Sugya, they don't quote the Tosfos in Chagiga, but we are learning Chagiga, so we may as well at least start with our Tosfos. So let's look in the Tosfos Loto Bara. It's in the wide lines. It's the second Tosfos. So he says, "Hai asay olim tvei mipru urvu." That asay is stronger than pru urvu. Kidamar ben Megillah perek basra, mocher adam sefer Torah lisa isha velumod Torah. Right. So there, the Gemara says there's only two reasons you're allowed to sell sefer Torah: either to learn Torah. Let's say you need money to be able to learn Torah. Your family's starving or whatever, and you happen to own this beautiful sefer Torah. So you want to be able to continue your learning so you can sell the Sefer Torah, so you can support your family and you'll be able to continue learning Torah, whatever the case may be. Or to get married. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk of Loto Bara L'Sheves, right, Loto Bara, sorry. So that's the pasuk that's quoted. So you see that for some reason, this pasuk is stronger than the actual chiyuv of Puravu, which is a little weird. I would have thought that a pasuk in Chumash is stronger than a pasuk in Navi. So, and Avol Yesh Mefarshim Mishum De'Eved Lo Mifkid HaPuravu. So he says another explanation is that an Eved is not commanded in the mitzvah of Puravu. D'Amar Hayu Lo Banim Ba'Avdusa Menishdachar Lo Kiyam Puravu. So he says that if you had, let's say an Eved Kanani has children, so those children are what? What's their status? They're avadim, right? They're born into avdus, but they're not niyuchas acharav. They're not considered halachically his children. They're considered belonging to the adam. So he's not. If he then becomes, so calls mom that he's an eved, that's fine. He doesn't have to have children, but if he gets freed and now he's a Jew, he's not mekayim puravu with those children. Right? It's a tremendous chiddush in the Minchas Tinuch. Minchas Tinuch has a lot on puravu. First mitzvah in the Sefer Achinuch. So I don't think that's why. Certain mitzvahs he does better than others. He does everything. Yes, always something nice to say on everything. But certain mitzvahs he really gets into. So Puravu is one of the mitzvahs he really gets into. And one, he has an interesting chiddush that he quotes from earlier sources, that if you have a guy whose children are also goyim, and they all convert at some point, right? Whether it's together, whether it's separately. So what's their halachic status now? What's the halachic status of this family? They're not related to each other. Gershon is Gair Kekotan Shinola Dami. They're not technically related to each other. This guy is not related to his children. Technically, I strongly recommend against this, and it's an Issur Derabanan as well, he can marry his daughter. The Rambam definitely says it. The Gemara says not allowed to, because it's an Issur Derabanan, because people will say, Banu Mikidusha Chamura Lekidusha Kawa. That he went from a strict, meaning, but when he was a guy, there's not a non-Jewish religion in the world that says you can marry your daughter, right? To a brother and a sister convert, so the guy brother now wants to marry his sister. There's not a religion in the world that says that it's a nice thing for a brother to marry a sister, so or a society for that matter. It's not dafka religion, but they'll say in those days everything was religion. So they'll say, "Bana mikedusha chamura lekedusha kala." Oh, you went from a holy religion which says you're not allowed to marry a relative to a religion which says everything's mutter. So in Judaism, they think everything's mutter. You're allowed to marry your sister, you're allowed to marry your daughter. So it's we call in Yiddish, it's pasnish. It doesn't look right. So therefore, there's an issur derabanan. You're not allowed to marry a relative, even though technically you're not related. But in the Torah, you are. So Minchas Chinuch says, Afal Pika, and even though they're not related to you at all, when everybody converts, so since this fellow is Jewish and he has children who are his biological offspring who are Jewish, he's Mekayim in the Mitzvah of Puruvu. Doesn't have to have more children. So that is the Chiddush of Minchas Chinuch, and we'll try to show a little bit of a basis for that idea. So going forward, so he says that the Eved is not Chayiv in Puruvu. Let's hold here from our Tosfos, and let's move on to the sheet. I have the Tosfos in Maseches Bava Basra. We'll go to a later answer, which is hinted at in our Tosfos. It was mentioned in our Tosfos as well, but it's clearer in the Tosfos in Bava Basra and in Gittin. So if you look on the underlined answer that I gave, Tosfos at each place I think gives three answers, but they're all slight variations on each other in each place. But Tosfos in Bava Basra says, V'ri mefarish, quotes the Ri, V'lekach lo naked kra de puravu, mishum de pater hu me osa mitzvah. I think that's what the answer we were reading in our Tosfos was getting to as well, but it's clearer in Bava Basra, that an Eved is pater from puravu. And this guy, Chatzi, Eved Chatzi ben Chorin, is certainly pater from Puravu. Why? Kevan Shehu Anus. Right? How's he can't get married. It's physically impossible for him because he has a Tzad Avdus and a Tzad Cheirus. Ukadeshe Yischayev Ba Lo Kafina Larabo La So Ben Chorin. And just so he should be Chayev in Puravu, we don't force his master to sell him. Dim Kane, b'cholav adam nachov rabam l'shachram kedushis chayvu b'cholav mitzvos. Right? We know that an eved is pater from a number of mitzvos. He's pater from tefillin. He's pater from lulav. He's pater from kriyashma. He's chayiv only the mitzvos that a woman is chayiv in. So we should say, every eved is chayiv to be meshachrer. I'm sorry, every adon is chayiv to be meshachrer. Every eved, so you can mekayim kol tarkul. Or at least all the mitzvahs that a man of his status would be able to be mekayim. He should have to free every single eved. We don't say such a thing. We say, that's not your current situation. In his current situation, these are the things that he's chayiv in. And the rule, so this guy's already a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, so he's half chayiv in puruvu, so what? He's also half pater, and that puts him in a situation which we call onus rachmana patre. So he's pater. Why would he force the Adam to free him under such situation? Well, the kach naked cross, as Tosa says, the Re specifically, therefore, the Torah uses the pasuk lo tov bara, specifically saying that it is, the world was not created to be empty, Mishum shehi mitzvah rabba mishum hachi kafinon. It's a great mitzvah, and for this great mitzvah we force. First of all, so two simple questions. You guys learn Pirkei Avos, right? So give me a question on that from Pirkei Avos. Comes up twice in Pirkei Avos. It's one of the, even if you didn't get far, you got to this, right? Which ones are you supposed to be more careful about? The big mitzvahs or the small mitzvahs? Also, neither, right? Hevezarek mitzvah kala kibach amura. So one place it just says, one place it says Hevezarek mitzvah kala kibach amura she'in ata yodea matan schar and shal mitzvahs, right? You don't know which ones you get the more reward for and which ones you don't get more reward for. That's one. So you should be zar in both, right? And the other one says Hevezarek mitzvah kala kibach amura. You should run to do a small mitzvah like you do, like you run to do a big mitzvah. Okay, so all of a sudden, we're saying you should try to be Makai Mitzvah Kala and a Mitzvah Chamura. Don't only do the big ones. Here we're saying, no. We only do the big ones. We do Lo Tov Bara. We don't do Puruvu. Puruvu is for amateurs. We don't get involved with that. We do the big mitzvahs here. Right? That's Kasha number one. And Kasha number two is just, how could the Pasuk in Navi be a bigger mitzvah than the Pasuk in the Torah? Right? Why wouldn't we put the bigger mitzvah in the Torah? Seems a little bit strange that we're going to say, oh, you see, Lo Tov Bara is such a big mitzvah. So our Tosfos quoted it from Maseches Megillah. I mean, the Tosfos in Bava Basra is about to do that too. We're going to skip that because we already saw it. But we see from Maseches Megillah, this is a big mitzvah. Right? You could sell a Sefer Torah for this. And now we're saying that it's a mitzvah rab. It's such a big mitzvah that you can be Meshachre, the Eved, or the Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chor, even though he's begetter on this Rachmana Patre. So we have to ask ourselves, what does it really mean that it's a big mitzvah? First of all, isn't it? Oh, it's a Kasha number three, just to, you know, things are nice in threes. I don't want to, you guys are Machmer for Zugos, you guys learn Avi Pesachim, so I don't want to leave it with two Kashas, right? Zugos, it's bad luck. So Kasha number three, it's very simple. Isn't it the same mitzvah? Isn't Purur Avu the same as Loto Bara? What's the difference? Yeah.
Loto Bara means it has to be. I mean, this product in the whether it's the nice mitzvah or it's the fact that the mitzvah needs to be, there needs to be Jewish people for. As if it's Loto Bara, then there's another obligation to convert. But if it's Purur Avu, that's an actual command to have children. Have your children, so wouldn't that be a difference between the Mitzvahs? Yeah, Puruvu is like, have the children, but then the sense that Puruvu is fulfilled in Puruvu afterwards.
Right.
Well, I was saying, it sounds like the difference between the two of them is that, like, Rosh Hashanah, like, the world needs to be filled with Jewish people. Right, so,
why not? It could be, by the way, Rosh Hashanah also applies to non-Jews. Could be that, they call it Shevis, the mitzvah of Shevis, right? So it says, the Gemara suggests, the Rosh Hashanah suggests that world population, meaning that used to be that non-Jews were chayiv in Puruvu, and then after Matan Torah, they're not chayiv in Puruvu, but they're chayiv in Shevis, right? So that's a possibility as well. But even without that, isn't it really the same thing? It just, like, if you have children, you're Mekayim Pururavu, and you're Mekayim Sheves, Lo Tov Bara. So what's the big difference over here? So, this is something, when I was very young, I thought I discovered America with this idea, and then I wrote this in a couple of Torah journals, and I was very proud of myself, and then, you know, as you get older, you realize that you're not, you know, this has been spoken about in many places. So on one hand, it's nice that, you know, nice to be on the right track. On the other hand, you know, not everything is such a great discovery. It's kedai to look around a little bit. But the best place to see this perhaps is in the Sefer Aslan Doraisa. The Aslan Doraisa is maybe the most famous Sefer of Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote many Sfarim, and he has a small commentary on Shas, also called Gilyoni HaShas. Not the Gilyoni HaShas on the page is a is Rabbi Kiva Eger, and the Gilyoni Hashas in the back of some editions of the Gemara is Rabbi Yosef Engel. But Rabbi Yosef Engel's greatest works are his essays that he writes. He has a few svarim that he was writing encyclopedic type works. He has a very encyclopedic mind in categorizing things in certain special ways. He has a sefer called Lekach Tov, specifically in the Lekach Tov and the Beis HaOtzer. Those are two of his other svarim, where he basically just says, like, let's talk about Siyag Doraisa. Right? You know that, like, there's a Din Derabanan, there's a Gzeira Derabanan and there's a Takana Derabanan, right? So most Dinam Derabanan are either Gzeiros or Takanas that either we're trying to protect something, or we're trying to make something new. So he says, does such a concept exist min haTorah, the siyag doraisa, that the Torah, there's an avera, but the avera unto itself is nothing wrong with it, it's just trying to protect something else. So then he's like, all right, I thought about it and I found 18 cases in Shas. You know, and he goes through each one and he has an encyclopedic mind, but he breaks things down very, very uniquely. And he has each piece is very, very fascinating. It's not as popular because there's a lot of Kutchin pieces in there, but he has like a sefer where, I forgot what it's called, but it's not even a full sefer, it's just a kuntris where he asked a question in Kutchin and he gave 60 answers to it, and then he had another sefer where he gave 90 answers to it. It's like a super genius of a person, but in addition, just a very incredibly original thinker. So he made this Yesod famous, apparently. Not famous enough that I knew about it at the time, but famous enough that I can tell it to you now. So he asks it from a different perspective, where he basically says, I don't understand. Putter is putter. So the Anas Rachmana Patre, Tosas asks the Kasha, he quotes it from the Tosas in Gittin, but it's the same point. He says, Anas Rachmana Patre means you're putter, right? Ulanara losas edavar is the source for Anas Rachmana Patre. What type of Nara are we talking about in the Pesukim there? She's an Ashes Ish. She's a Nara Murasa. What happens is, so there's a man, is Ma'anis, a Nara Murasa. He's Chayev Misa. She gets nothing because it wasn't her fault. She was forced. So the Torah teaches us Anas Rachmana Patre. So what are we talking about? Big mitzvahs. You're not going to get any bigger than that. Meaning, if you were going to punish her, that would be as big as it gets. She's Chayev Misa. The fellow is Chayev Misa. She's Chayev nothing because of Anas Rachmana Patre. So how big the mitzvah is should be irrelevant. Right? If you're putter, you're putter. So that's point number one. Like, I don't know, I'll give you a dumb example, but, right, did anybody fast today for Yom Kippur? No? You know you're chayv kares if you eat on Yom Kippur, right? So you guys fasted for Yom Kippur today? Why? Because you're not chayv today to fast for Yom Kippur, because it's not Yom Kippur, right? Does that make it a bigger or smaller avera to eat on Yom Kippur? No, it's still a really big avera to eat on Yom Kippur. But when you're not chayv to eat on Yom Kippur, then you don't, right? Either because it's not Yom Kippur, or because you're Chol HaShiyesh Bo Sakana, or whatever the reason is. So, Anas Rachmana Patre. Doesn't matter how big of a deal it is to eat on Yom Kippur. If you're not Chayiv, you're not Chayiv. That doesn't affect the size and severity of the mitzvah. It doesn't affect anything. That's basically the way he phrases it. So, and then he goes a little bit further. In the second paragraph, he quotes, V'hinei matzina b'zeh machlokes b'in adrisha v'hataz, Binenas v'hoyayachol l'spal tefila achas. He has an interesting machlokes achronim between the Drisha and the Taz. The Drisha is a commentary on the Tur, and the Taz is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. And they argue, let's say the reason you missed davening was a real onis. Something really important came up. So now, do you daven tashlumen or not? So he says, so he quotes the thing. Look in the Taz, the pligi behedya bezeh ma'onis potro legamrei velo shayach hashlama kevan shelo haya mechuyev klal b'shaito odilma mechuyev haya ela shelo haya yachol lekayim. Right, so this is sort of what we talked about last time a little bit, but right, he says, how potter are you when we say Anas Rachmana Patre? Right, another question, hutra versus devuya. Right, so that's the same idea as before, but more than that. So that's point, it goes into that in terms of point number one, how putter is onis. But more than that, v'nir lani is daiti, the yesh la hachriya, this is the underlines, Pesher davar v'plugta zos diesh bei minei mitzvos. There's two types of mitzvos. Mitzvah shemena l'makom levad, purely between you and Hashem. Ubazes svarno senes deina kodesh baruch hu b'trunya imbriosa. Right, that's a famous comment from the Gemara beginning of Avodah Zarah. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not try to. He's not trying to trick us. It doesn't give you mitzvahs you can't handle. That's the modern version of it. But the Talmudic version is Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba B'Trunya Imbriosa. He's not trying to just have fun with you for no reason. Umechayev Ach Misha Yochol Lekayim Mitzvah. Your only people are chayim in the mitzvah is if you can do the mitzvah. Va'onus Eina Mechuyev Klal. Sheina Kodesh Baruch Hu Mevakish Madam Not Mashabi Yecholto. So if it comes to a mitzvah ben adam la makom, and you had an ones, you're completely putter. Because God understands you couldn't do it. However, mitzvah shibadam la chaveiro, kimo asiyas makeh, apriyas balcho, v'chadomeh, duhu mitzad to'eles chaveiro, u'bevada lo nemar b'kamo zed, adamu onus, v'in yochel lasos makeh, she'in adam abatz muso. So what are we talking about? He gives two examples. Building a fence around, they have a balcony, a dangerous, or a rooftop, a flat roof. People walk up there, got to build a fence around the roof. You got to build a makeh. Or you borrow $10,000 from someone, there's a mitzvah, prius b'chov. Got to pay him back. And let's say you have all the money. You're ready to go. You're walking towards the guy. And an armed robber on a motorcycle comes. He gets off the motorcycle. He puts a gun in your face. Give me the money. Grab it. Runs away. Right? List the mezuyin. Right? List the mezuyin. We consider an ones. So you say to the fellow, he said, you're not going to believe this. I had the $10,000. I got robbed. Check. Here's the video. Here's the police report. Whatever. They never catch the guy. You have to pay him back. On a Srachmana Patre. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, what are you kidding? Of course you have to pay him back. On a Srachmana Patre is Menon Lamakom. So Menon Lamakom, you really tried to do the mitzvah. Kodesh Baruch Hu understands you couldn't get the job done and it wasn't your fault. But Hashem doesn't need our mitzvos. He's perfectly fine the way he is. He doesn't lose out because we didn't do the mitzvah. We don't gain because we didn't do the mitzvah. So, okay, on a Srachmana Patre, Hashem can decide what kind of schar he wants to give or not give. Okay, that's none of our business. But this guy is entitled to get his money back. And if he doesn't get the money back, we have to give it to him. It's not our fault. Okay, on a Srachmana Patre means you're not doing an Aveira since you didn't pay him back. But you still have to pay him back. Right, that's the continuation here. He says, Ela sha'anasu v'ena yachol kaim chiyuvo. I went back one line. It says, "Ach mitzad ritzono yizbarach bilvad shenasa adavar ahuva nachnu mechuyav lasos ritzono yizbarach umitzvosa al korvach al onis ein chiyuv klal the ein bo inyan a mitzvah klal." So he says, when it comes to benam lamakom, okay, so Hashem wants us to do mitzvos. He doesn't need the mitzvah. So if we didn't do it and it was an onis, we don't have to pay it back later. But I wanted to build the makeh today. And then a tornado came and blew it over. So I'm like, okay, I tried. I really tried. I built a beautiful makeh, a tornado blew it away. Do I not have to rebuild it? Of course I have to rebuild it. Somebody could fall. So the goal of the mitzvah ben olam chavero is that nobody falls off my roof. The goal of paying back the balchov is that he gets his money. So therefore, it's necessary to go ahead and do it. Okay, there's a lot more here, but basically, he plays this into Puravu versus Shevis, right? So his chilek is that the way he drew the chilek is between Bein Adam La Makom and Bein Adam La Chavera, which is a big chiddush. Why? Because the simpler chilek, and others make this distinction, is between what we would call Maiseh-oriented mitzvos and Totsa-oriented mitzvos. What matters? The result or the act? So for example, there's a mitzvah of Dalad Minim on Sukkos. What's important? That I should do the act of shaking a lulav on Sukkos, or that the lulav should have been taken by me? Right? It sounds like two ways of saying the same thing, but it's very different. Like, when it comes to Dalad Minim, there's no doubt that the maisa is everything. To pick up the Dalad Minim, right, the mitzvah is really to pick it up, but obviously the mitzvah Bishlei Musa is to do the Na'anuim as well. It's to shake in all the right directions, at the right times, etc. So, the maisa is the mitzvah. The fact that, am I now a, is there some type of totsah when you get home from shul and you're, you know, my wife says to me, did you shake a lulav today? So I'm like, can't you tell? You can't tell if I shook a lulav today or not? What's wrong with you? No, you can't tell because the maisa was the mitzvah. There's nothing, you don't get to take anything home with you. Right? So hopefully spiritually, you know, the Arizal could probably tell. You know, the Arizal looked at you, he could tell whether you shook a lulav today or not. But most, you know, sans one person in the last 500 years, probably most people can't tell. Okay, but on a spiritual level, there's a difference. But on a physical level, the maisa is the mitzvah, not the totsah, right? If you go and you try to have a child, and you come home from the hospital, you can tell the difference, right? Either there's a baby there or there's no baby, right? So if there is a baby, that's a totsah. If there's no baby, no totsah, right? So it's a totsah-related mitzvah. Benam l'chaveiro is a totsah-related mitzvah. Did you pay back the money? Did you not pay back the money? Yes, the maisa is also important. To actually hand over the money, to build the fence, to help the old lady across the street. Those are all important to the mitzvah, but the real mitzvah is, did you get the job done or not? Did the result that you wanted, did that take place? So Rabbi Yosef Engel's angle on, terrible pun, but his way of looking at it is specifically that we view all mitzvahs ben adam la makom as maisa related mitzvahs, and we view, I take that back. We view mitzvahs ben adam la makom as at least maisa related mitzvahs, but we view all mitzvahs ben adam la chavero as totsah related mitzvahs. So therefore, in the case of paying back the Baal Chov or doing a chesed for your friend, so it's very nice that you tried to do a chesed for your friend. It's very nice that you tried to pay your friend back, but if you didn't get the money or you didn't receive the chesed, it doesn't do anybody any good. So Anas Rachmana Patre doesn't mean that you did the chesed. You still have to do the chesed. You still have to give the money. But it just means you're not. We're not angry at you. We'll give you more leeway to get the job done. Whereas in the Bein Olam Makom, no, you're good. You tried. Excuse me. You tried. You couldn't do it. That's fine. So when it comes to the mitzvah Puravu, there is a maisa of the mitzvah, and then there's the totsah of the mitzvah. That's why I asked before. Isn't it all the same thing? Right? Isn't it the same thing? If you have children, you did Puravu, you did Sheves, Lotov Barah. So yes, that is true, but it's two sides to the coin. The Maisa is the mitzvah of Puravu, whereas the Totsah is having the world be populated. And not only that, the Chiddush of the Chaskinuch is you can actually fulfill the Maisa mitzvah if you fulfill the Totsah. When you did the Maisa, let's say the non-Jew has children. When you did the Maisa mitzvah, you were Pater. So that normally doesn't help anybody. If when you're Pater, you do the Maisa mitzvah. Let's say this man, you want to, you're feeling Kriya Shema Shel Arvis right now. You had a good Ma'ariv and you did a nice Kriya Shema. So you're like, oh, I'm feeling it. You know, I'm feeling the Kriya Shema right now. I want to knock off Kriya Shema Shel Shachris also. Right? Like I said before, fasting not on Yom Kippur, for Yom Kippur. You're feeling the fast day today, so you want to fast for Yom Kippur. Doesn't help if it's not yet Yom Kippur, right? So if it's completely Maisa-oriented, to do it before there's a chiyuv does nothing. But if it's totsah oriented, as long as you accomplish a totsah in the end, the maisa is not as significant. And so the chiddush in the Minchas Chinuch is that you can accomplish pur revu if you accomplish the totsah. There are now Jewish children in the world because of you. Did you do the maisa mitzvah? No, you didn't. You got the totsah without doing the maisa. Because when you did the maisa, you weren't chayv. And then even when they were born, you weren't accomplishing the maisa. You didn't accomplish pur revu. However, when they converted, now because you accomplished sheves, because you accomplished loto barah, and your chayv and pur revu, you also accomplished pur revu mamela, because the ikar is the totsah. Yeah. So that's why I want to be clear that I don't think Rabbi Yosef Engel would suggest all Bein Adam LaMakom mitzvos are automatically Maisa. I think his suggestion is more along the line that all Bein Adam LaChavero mitzvos are Totsah. And all, furthermore, I think that that's a legitimate, he would probably make the split. Yeah, I mean, he does make the split essentially in the second set of underlines. You can check it out. But basically, Pur Revu is the Bein Adam LaChavero part. That's the Maisa part. And Loto Bara is the Totsah part. So you can actually, as long as you do the Totsah, that's the Bein Adam LaChavero. You want people in the world. So therefore, you can split that mitzvah. And if you accomplish the Totsah, you also get the Maisa. Right, sometimes you could do the maisa and it just doesn't go for you. Right, what is the Gemara in Shabbos says? You get asked 6 questions when you go up to Shemayim. Right, so you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says you get 6 questions when you go up to Shemayim, and the second one is asakta b'piri b'rivya. Right, the first one is nasasa nasata b'emuna. Right, I think I got to mix them up. I think the first one is, did you do business honestly? The second one is Kavati Tema Torah. And the third one is Asakta B'Kriyavir. I could be wrong. I don't know what it is. But so did you try to have, did you, were you Osake improve? Did you try to have children? Did you do the Maisa? Whether or not you achieve the Totsah is not really up to you. That's Min HaShemayim. You know, there are people who really, really, really try to have children and it doesn't go. And there are people who aren't even trying to have children. I know somebody, more than one somebody, who Bedavka thought they were finished having children and they had more than one child afterwards. You know, it happens. You know, so you have both situations, but it's not in your hands. Whether or not you tried to have children, that's in your hands. That's the Maisa side of things. Right? The Totsah, that's not up to you. But nevertheless, to actually fulfill the mitzvah is the Totsah. You have to have one boy, one girl. The people have 10 boys, right? 10 girls, whatever it is. So they officially didn't get the right Totsah. Certainly they tried. They did the Maisa mitzvah. On the Bein Adam LaMakom side, they were certainly Mekayim the mitzvah. Right? Bein Adam LaChavero, on the world population side, they didn't get the one boy, one girl. Okay. But that's this important feeling. Now, just to close this idea up, the most famous, I just want to give you the most famous one probably, the most famous example of the pure Totsah related mitzvah is the Chiddush of the Marach Ur Zeruah. I won't read it inside now, but it's Kedai. You should check and try to read it inside. The Marach Ur Zeruah, the son of the original Ur Zeruah, one of the Balei HaTosfos, so he is convinced that the mitzvah of Bris Milah is purely Totsah related. And I have a friend who he likes this Marach Ur Zeruah very much. So when his first son was born, so the Mole said to him, "Okay, you'll make a kinyan, you'll appoint me as your shaliach to do the mitzvah of Bris Milah for you." He says, "No, I'm not appointing you as a shaliach. I'm just asking you to do the milah." So he's like, "Why don't you just make me your shaliach? Like, you have the chiyuv to do the milah, and I'm going to do it for you. So I have to be your shliach." He says, "No, I don't have a chiyuv to do the milah. I have a chiyuv to make sure that my son has a bris milah. And I'm doing that by hiring you to do this job. You're not my shliach." Okay, you don't have to fight about it after a while. It's a clash of personalities, but nevertheless, what was he even talking about? He's talking about this Marach or Zeruah. Marach or Zeruah says it's the father's responsibility to make sure that the Bris Milah happens. It's not the father's responsibility to do the Milah. And he says the mole doesn't have to be his shaliach. Right? He says there's some mitzvos where obviously you have to do the mitzvah. It has to be physically done by you. And there are other mitzvos where you can use a shaliach. And there's some mitzvos which are just completely result-oriented. And therefore, as long as it got done, everybody's good to go. And he suggests that the aspect of Mila that is essential is that the Mila should happen. The child should be Nimol. He should be Gemalt, as they say in Yiddish, right? He should have a Bris Mila. Yeah.
Isn't that why we say that Bris Mila is low for Shabbos? Because if you say it's based on the Tzotzah, so then you have the Pula. But then at the end of the day, for everything afterwards, then you won't be Pula Bris. That's why everyone.
I don't see why, even if it was the Maisa, why wouldn't it be Docha Shabbos? I could see it being Docha Shabbos either way. I don't know, I mean, we have, certainly, like, when it comes to bringing certain korbanos on Shabbos, so the korban tamid is Docha Shabbos. So the shechita is real. It's a shechita. It's not that the carbon should be geshachten, right? That the shechita is a ma'isa shechita. That's docha Shabbos, right? Even though shechita is one of the lametes melachos, because there's a chiyuv to do it on that day, which includes Shabbos. So we say by yom hashvi yimo b'sar alaso. So dafka on the eighth day, even if that eighth day happens to be Shabbos. It's mashma from the lashon pasuk that it's the ma'isa that's docha Shabbos. But either way, If you see what you mean, get back to me. I'm curious why Dafka if it's Totsah. But he goes through his big riots from David HaMelech. He quotes from Chazal. They talk about David HaMelech was in the bathhouse one time and he felt very bad because he was Aron min HaMitzvos. He didn't have his tzitzis, he didn't have his tefillin, he didn't have, and then he remembered that he has his Mila. So says Marach Zeruah, what are you kidding me? He remembers that because when he was 8 days old, his father gave him a Bris Mila, that now he has mitzvos? No, he is currently fulfilling the mitzvah of Bris Mila every second. Because the Mila is not just something where a mitzvah was once done. The mitzvah is to have a Mila. And therefore, he specifically is Mikayim the mitzvah Mila right now. As opposed to if you say it was the Maisa Mila, so then your father was Mekayim the mitzvah when you were 8 days old. Now it's over. Okay, there's a lot of nuance to this discussion. If you look in the Rambam, he probably holds it's a little of both. The Rugged Shavar had a famous shita that it was three things. But for now, this is probably the most famous Totsah related mitzvah. Yeah. Right.
Does that make
more sense then? The Milah is not Docha Shabbos.
Right, so I think about that.
Saying because we want that totsah no matter what, meaning the zman is less important. I hear that idea. Because you're already saying that if it's all totsah, so it's about it happened. When it happened is not so significant. It's currently, meaning even on Shabbos, let's say it's the eighth day. The kid is 8 days old. He gave him a Bris Mila. So what was Docha Shabbos? The fact that you could do that act or the fact that you got the result you wanted? So you got the result you wanted, which continues every single day. So even if the kid is 10 years old, you get that same result. Yeah, I hear. But the problem is that even the Tanoim have machlokes about different things about Milah Shel Bizman is a dafka bayom b'layla. It's hard to always say that they're arguing about Maisa versus Totsah. The Marach or Zeruah would say they all hold it Totsah. So we have like different discussions about Milah Shel Bizman, and there's clearly distinctions that are made in terms of, we say Milah Bizman, well, let's leave it at that for now. So, I have some thoughts on it, but we'll leave it for now. Okay, so just one last point on the Totsar-related issue. I thought there was something that's somewhat similar. If you look on back on our daf on Beis Amid Beis, Diramaska Lisa Shivcha. So Tosas just says an interesting thing. Umamzeres lo yisa. Right? So they say, why don't you let him marry this Chatzia v'Chatzia ben Choron? Let him marry a Mamzeres. So Tosas says two reasons why he can't marry a Mamzeres. But the first reason, I think, is very much in sync with what we're talking about. Avagav de eved mutter b'mamzeres, l'fisha kadesh v'omeid. Kidnam berka omer, yecholim mamzerim litoyer, keitzad mamzer nose shivcha. V'tzarcher shariba. Okay, so for our purposes, let's just leave aside the little introduction that Tosas just gave us, and just say, it's mutter for a chatzi eved chatzi b'mchorin to marry a mamzeres. So why doesn't he just marry a mamzeres and he can have children with the mamzeres? Yes, they'll be mamzerim, but he's still mekayim in the mitzvah of having children. So yesh lomar, second line in the Tosfos, at towards the end of the line, yesh lomar, you could answer de aim lana l'takein kidei laharbos mamzerim ba'olam. We don't want to make a takana that you have to free a chatzi ed chatzi ben charen. Just so there could be more mamzerim. We don't want that totso. And say, there's no, he's not doing an avira, the mice is mutter. But still, we would rather make a takana and violate lo'ola b'em tavodu on the other half of him than make more mamzerim in the world. There's no iser to produce a mamzer, right? Saying if a mamzer marries a mamzeres, that's a mutter shidduch. And they're allowed to have children. And yet, we don't want it because we don't want to increase the number of mamzerim in the world. So it's a purely totsa-related concern. So that's another example that we have on our very oven. And just leave you with this, just in terms of what does that mean, that sheves is a mitzvah rabbah versus puravu is not a mitzvah rabbah. It's not as big of a deal, right? So doesn't mean it's as big of a deal or smaller deal that we're more careful about one mitzvah than the other. It just means that when we talk about Sheves, Dama Lo Tova Ra, it means that it's result-oriented. Result-oriented is a bigger deal, quote-unquote, than Maisa-oriented in that sense. That's why you can sell a Sefer Torah for the mitzvah of Pur Ravu, and then we quote the Pasuk of Lo Tov. Why? It's trying to tell you the mitzvah is Pur Ravu. But the difference between Pur Ravu and most mitzvos is that it's result-oriented. And we want the given results makes it a bigger deal than saying you can sell a Sefer Torah to Sheik Alula. You can sell a Sefer Torah to sit in a sukkah. Because those are actions that we do, but they are not result-driven. They don't inherently improve the world by their result. As opposed to the mitzvah Pur Ravu on the Sheves end of things is result-oriented, and therefore the world is considered a better place based on that result, in which case it overrides something that if it had just been Pur Ravu, if it had just been a Maisa, would not override those things. Anyway, think it over. That's like the Rosh Hashanah of this Inyan.